to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vahini Satsang. By Bhagwan's grace, today we have in the studios a very special guest. He is someone who has spoken in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan on innumerable occasions. There have been Shivratri mornings, Shivratri evenings, when Bhagwan has given him this priceless opportunity to share his love for Bhagwan, share his insights about his message. Tomorrow is Shivratri, and today, by divine design and divine grace, we have Mr. Ajit Popat in the studios of Radio Psy for this episode of Vahini Satsang. As always, along with me, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, if you have been following this series, we have been discussing about Prema Vahini. In the previous episode, we discussed the first three paragraphs of chapter 4. So today, let's get to chapter 4. We will listen to the third paragraph again, because that is something we touched in the previous session. So we'll listen to what Bhagwan says in the third paragraph of Prema Vahini, and then we begin the discussion with Mr. Ajit Popat sir.
Tattvamasi, a Atma Swarupam Nivu. Idi Mikkili Unnatam Pavitramu Aina Mahavakyam. Nasha Rahitamaina Falamedo, a Lopala Saramedo, Ade Nivu. ఈ దేహము కంటే భిన్నము నిష్కళంకము అయిన ఆత్మతత్వమే నీవు. ఆ ఆత్మతత్వ నిమిత్తమే నీకీ శరీరం ప్రాప్తించినది. నీవు ఎల్లప్పుడూ స్థిరముగానుందువు. ఈ శరీరమును వాహనంగా చేసుకుని వచ్చుట ఎవరిని వారు నాశనం చేసుకున్నట్టుగా కాదు. ఈ దేహముపై అధికారము వినియోగించి తద్వారా లోకకల్యాణమును వృద్ధిపరచుట కొరకు ఈ మహత్తత్వము నిమిత్తము ఈ శరీరమును విసరవలను. కర్మాచరణకే ఈ దేహము. ఈ దేహము కేవలం నిమిత్తమాత్రమైన సాధనం, ఈశ్వరదత్తమైన ఒక పనిముట్టు. దాని అవసరం తీరిన నాడు దానితో అవసరం లేదు. అట్టి నిజతత్వమును పొందువరకు దేహమును మాత్రం సర్వ విధాలా కాపాడుకొనవలను.
తత్వమసి, యు ఆర్ ద ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ. దిస్ ఈస్ ద హైయెస్ట్ and holiest Mahavakya or divine axiom. You are that indestructible fruit and its inner essence. You are that Atma Tattva, the Atmic principle, which is different from the body and is blemishless. It is for the sake of this Atmic principle alone that you are given this body. You, the Atma, is always steady. Have you come with the body as a vehicle to destroy yourself? Surely not. You are here to exercise authority over the body, to thereby promote welfare of the world. The body has to be utilized for this Mahatattva, a great purpose. This body is meant for performing actions. It is a mere implement and instrument gifted by God. Once its intended purpose is served, it is needed no more. Until you have realized your true self, the body has to be protected by all means.
So there's so many powerful messages in that paragraph. Popat sir, what is it that strikes you as you hear Bhagwan's words here?
Sai Ram, Brother Pushti, and all the dearest listeners of Radio Sai, I consider this as my privilege to participate in this wonderful program, because tomorrow happens to be the most auspicious festival in the Indian calendar, the Mahashivratri. And because we worship Shiva, Lord Himself, who is not only Shiva but also Shiva Shakti Swarupa, I will take the liberty of reciting one particular verse of the Lord Shankara's Atma Bodham.
Sure.
Mano buddhi hankara chittani naham. Nacha shotra jivve nacha ghrana netre. Nacha vyoma bhumi na tejo na vayu. Chidananda rupa shivoham shivoham. I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not the intellect. I am not the five faculties of perception or the action. I am only that which is Shivam Shantam Advaitam. I am that which is Satyam Shivam Sundaram. I am that which is Satchidanandam. I remember Bhagavan once was talking about Anandam. And he very beautifully said, Lena Dena Bande Phir Bhi Anand. And then Swami said, Brahmanandam, Paramanandam, Nityanandam, Akhandanandam, Atmanandam, Adbhutanandam, Ashyaryanandam, Premanandam, Yoganandam, Turyanandam, now Satyanandam, which is Satchidanandam. I remember once I was sitting in the veranda, Bhagavan came out of the car, and as soon as he stepped out of the car, he looked at me and he said, Puppet, I was in the car, but I am not the car. I am in the body, but I am not the body. There is a different identity, the Chitta Shakti, which is, according to Swami, is located between the two eyebrows, in the center, which is the light. The word light is very relevant because we have Brother Sai Prakash sitting next to me.
Oh my God.
And Bhagavan once very beautifully told me that when you have the real perception of the light, that you are the Atmic Tattva, what Bhagavan was saying.
Yes.
He said that light will make you light.
Yes.
It will also make you bright. You will also become right. And ultimately people will get the light.
Wow.
So,
amazing.
What Swami wants us to understand is that this body is only a new garment. Because in the next paragraph, Swami is going to talk about the garments we normally wear during the winter and the summer.
Yes.
But Bhagavan says this is only a garment that you are wearing. The garment is new. But the inner power, the Atmic Tattva, is Nitya Nitanam, Purana Puratanam, Satya Sanatanam. And once we, I suppose, understand, and that's what Swami was saying all the time, that Swami had no body consciousness.
Yes.
I remember once we were here at the Lotus Feet and we were performing a program of Sai Harmony, and you could see that in the video, which is also available in the bookstall. It was in 2004. The flies were sitting on Swami's face and on the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami had closed his eyes and he was practically in Brahmanandam. He was not there and he was still there. You imagine a person having a fly near his ear and he does it like this. There is immediate reflection and reaction. Whereas Swami was sitting very patiently as if that little insect, let him enjoy the proximity of the divine. He never identified himself with the body. No. And that's what we have to learn. From my own personal example, I hope Brother Pushti and Brother Prakash, you will allow me to say, then my listeners will also bear with me and forbear with me, that when I was going through chemotherapy because of my high-grade B-cell lymphoma in London, one day Swami came in my dream and he said, Puppet, how are you? And before I could say, he himself said, pain will be there. Pain is physical. But Swami said, you have an option whether to suffer or not to suffer. Because suffering is mental.
Yes.
My God.
When you identify with our body, then you have pain. Then you're in duality. But when you go to this noble understanding of your own self-realization, knowing is not enough, Brother Pushti. Knowing is like reading a book. Swami said once very beautifully to me, seeing milk is one thing, drinking is another thing. Digesting is yet another thing. When you have digested the milk, then only you can say you have drank milk. Otherwise, drinking milk is a waste of time and waste of money also. So, if I understand correctly and live like that, then I have no pain. And I have no suffering either. But even if I go one step, this is like going into the first standard and then going for the PhD, that if I do not identify myself with the body, at least there will not be any suffering in the mind. And that's what Swami is saying, that is Atma Tattvam.
Yes.
And this particular statement of Swami, that I was in the car, but I am not the car.
Yes.
Whereas Puppet thinks that he is the car. He is driving. Forgetting the fact that under the bonnet there is an engine which is driving.
Can I just interrupt you and ask, because you know, this is nice to know as a philosophy, as a principle, but when you're trying to live it in real life, it's so difficult to detach yourself from the body. You know, I'm going through this particular episode in my life. How can I say I'm not the body? I mean, it bothers me every second of the day. What practical tips do you think we can offer to someone who says, it's very difficult, it is easy to say to detach yourself, but tell me how I can do it?
I think Brother Prakash should get the opportunity and chance to throw some light on, give us the light.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have any practical experience of that. But something which comes to my mind is very simple. In the sense, suppose you have a bleeding leg or a bleeding hand, and suddenly somebody calls Prakash. In that split second, you have forgotten your pain.
Of course.
Because you turn to respond.
Yes.
So what happens is, unknowingly, like it's a common experience for all of us.
Yes.
Suddenly somebody calls your name. In that split second, your entire focus and attention is on that call.
Yes.
So when you look back, you've forgotten your pain.
Correct.
So can we kind of remain in that state forever? There's just one more thing that comes to my mind. I think Swami had mentioned earlier to some of the students. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that if you chant my name in the last moment, you will have no rebirth.
Correct.
And Baba says, thousand scorpions. He says, the second when you're actually leaving the body, the pain is equivalent to a sting of thousand scorpions.
Oh.
He says, it is the pain that you get when you're actually the soul is leaving the body is equivalent to a sting of a thousand scorpions. At that moment, if you have to be detached from the body, and if you have to chant the Lord's name,
yes,
you better do it all through your life.
The whole life.
Even if you do it for all through your life. So I think it is a sincerity of purpose. And then again, the same thing, how do we reach there? He says, if you are interested enough, you will reach.
Yes.
A person who once was in the interview room with me, and he said that, Swami, kindly bless with memory.
Mm-hmm.
Swami immediately asked him, what is your date of birth? So he said, Swami, 5-10-44. What is the date of your marriage? He said, Swami, 27th of March, 1976. What is the name of your daughter? And immediately he said, Sandhya. He said, you have no memory problem. You have no memory problem. You remember all the answers. What Brother Prakash said is very correct. That you remember only those things which in which you are interested.
Interested in, that's all.
Now, if I develop the love for Master right from my childhood,
yes,
and keep on practicing it, abhyasam, that is what, coming back to Prakash, what he was saying about Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was instructed by Krishna in no uncertain terms, that Krishna is telling Arjuna that you will reach the level of perfection and become a true devotee as exemplified in chapter 12 of Bhakti Yoga, when abhyasa yoga.
Yes.
The greatest yoga is Abhyas Yoga. You keep on practicing it.
Abhyasena vairagyena cha grihyate.
That is.
That's all.
Yeah. So, if we remember ourselves, other day, I must share this with our listeners and also with Brother Pushti. It's only day before yesterday, I read a very beautiful article. A same question was raised. That how do we be able to discard this concept that I am the body I am the mind, I am the intellect. And when I am getting constant hammering in my day-to-day life that I am the body.
Yes.
If somebody steps on my foot and if he doesn't say sorry, I get hurt. You understand?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do we do it? And the master, the spiritual master who was very gracious enough, like our beloved Swami said, that the only way to come over this identity and your identification with the body is that every day you must remember that you are going to die. Remember death, which is the gospel truth,
yes,
which is the reality of life. Whether you are a pauper or whether you are a Bill Gates, no matter what you are, how you are, where you are, death is certain. Swami said three things are certain. God is, death is, and life is what you make it out. So if that is the reality, if I remember it, then I know that this, and that is what Shankara also said, na? Tacha prana sanyo nave panchavayu nava saptadhatu nava panchakosha navakpani padona chopastapayu chidananda rupa shivoham shivoham name mrityu shanka name jati peta. There is no doubt about the death. So if I remind myself that this body, who they said the greatest deceiver in this world is your body. No matter how much you go to beauty parlor, how much you beautify it, how much you take care of it, how much of pampering you do, how much of dieting you do, how much of workout you do, this body will deceive you when the time comes. Is it not?
Absolutely.
So all this pampering is only a show. You are pampering only the thing which is in any case is going to decay. And your beloved wife who adores you, who loves you, will say, please remove him because it is smelling. She wants to get rid of you. Isn't it?
Amazing.
I mean, the first five shlokas of that Atma Bodha that you are telling is so beautiful. But the last one where he says, Aham Nirvikalpo Nirakara Rupo. So that is so beautiful.
Nirgunam, Nirakaram, Niranjanam, Nirlepam, Nishalam, Nishitam, Nirvikaram, Nirabhavin, Nirdosham. Swami once told me this. That is my real being. When I came out from the mother's womb, I was as pure as nothing but purity. I was the embodiment of purity. Moment the identification came, at the age of 2, if somebody touches my toy, I will drag it and grab it and say, this is mine. Swami once told me, look at the little child who has not yet learned how to walk. He's always crawling. Have you seen the child crawling?
Yes.
Always catching something. Grabbing is my nature right from my childhood, from the time I start crawling. And then identify myself with the body.
Yes.
Anything and everything that is mine is my paramount of importance. Me and mine becomes my nature. Whereas Swami wants us to transcend that and go to thou and thine.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Giving up is not that easy.
Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking, when someone asked how to be happy always, I thought one answer is, just be like a baby. You don't think about the future. You don't think about what you need. If you can always be like a baby, every moment is a miracle. And every moment you are happy. You don't need a reason to smile. You don't need a purpose to smile. All your needs are met because you are not concerned about your future. You are not concerned about anything. You can just smile simply. And that comes from that purity. Yes. And the other thought that came as Sai Prakash also was mentioning about Abhyasam and interest. In one discourse, when Bhagavan is talking about Advaitam and Swami is telling, you know, you have the nature, the jivi and the creation, and when you remove the mirror, which is the nature, and then it's only Advaitam, it's only God and God everywhere. And Swami says it's not difficult to reach that stage. All it needs is you should have that intense pining, that is what is not there. If the intense pining is there, then love will happen, that vision will happen, everything will happen. We don't pine for God as intensely as we pine for so many other things in life.
Brother Pushti, what you said is very true, and I must share this again with all the listeners. That in one of the interviews, Swami was discussing about the detachment. And Bhagavan was giving us practical example that when a person, that is why Swami has also said in Telugu, Putra, Pautri, Bharya, Madhyama, they come in between. When you get married at the age of 27, for 27 years, there was nobody as your wife. The day you take a vow of marriage, she becomes yours. And then you fall in love. Until that moment you were strangers. I mean, that used to be this case in the Indian culture. Now things have changed. Now boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, our moral standards have gone into complete transformation. But the fact is that Swami said that if you act only as a custodian in trust, Bhagwan gave a beautiful example of a bank clerk. She is receiving hundreds and thousands of rupees and account for it in the evening in the ledger. She is also dispensing hundreds and thousands of rupees when cash is withdrawn by Mr. X or Y or Z. Her mind is focused only on her salary, which is 30,000 rupees per month. Not on the transaction which is going. Likewise, Swami said that the money, the health, the wealth, the progeny, the family, everything that you are having, the power, the position, everything, if you act as a trustee and you are only a custodian and you account for your final account, which is at the end of the year or at the end of your lifetime, merger with the, because you merge and then emerge.
Yes.
And then you submerge. Which is going to be the part two, yes, of the another paragraph.
Yes.
Brother Pushti.
Yeah, let's move on.
The practical sense. Yes. Be a custodian.
Yes.
Absolutely. Then the question of, as Prakash said, that it is very difficult to practice it. But Swami makes it very, because he's a brother, in this Kali Avatara, with my little experience, what I have understood is, the most practical God and most democratic God is Satya Sai Baba. Living in the world and still not being off world.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. I think let's move on to the next paragraph. I think we will have more occasions to ruminate on the same idea.
చలికాలంలో వేసిన దుస్తులు ఎండకాలమున ధరింతుమా? అట్టే ప్రపంచ వ్యామోహమనే గాలులు వీచినంత వరకు, ఆ గాలులకు తాళలేనంత వరకు ఈ మలినమైన మందమైన తోలితిత్తులు అవసరం. వాటి గాలి మానవుని మనసునకు కాని, కాయమునకు కాని, వాక్కునకు కాని సోకకుండినా సూక్ష్మదేహమును ధరింతురు.
డు వి యూజ్ ద క్లోత్స్ వోర్న్ డ్యూరింగ్ వింటర్ ఇన్ సమ్మర్ టూ? Likewise, as long as the gales of worldly attachment blow and till we are unable to withstand such gales, this dull and dirty human vesture is essential. Once this gale does not affect one's mind, body or words, then one can assume a subtle body.
So Swami is very clearly telling us, till when do you need the human body?
Yeah, attachment, Swami says, worldly attachment. Swami has often said, satsangatva nisangatvam, nisangatva nirmohatvam. And I think, in a sense, good company is one thing which slowly takes us away from the attachment to the world. And although Swami is not mentioning it here, but I think that's what Swami has spoken many times. So with good company, possibly sat sangam, he would say sat sangam,
yes. Yes.
That is being in company with sat, with the truth. That is the deeper inner significance of that. But even good people to start with. So if you are in touch with good people who align you towards something which is more permanent, more subtle, more divine, I think that's the starting step.
Absolutely. In fact, what also comes to mind is the explanation that Swami gives of the lotus. I remember in our 12th class interview, and Bhagwan suddenly asked any questions, and you know, at that point in time, not as a spiritual aspirant, but just to keep the conversation going and just to spend more time with Bhagwan, someone asked this question, Swami, why have you kept so many lotuses in the hostel? In the hostel building, you have lotus structures on all the walls, in the parapet walls, and you have lotuses everywhere in Prashantinilayam, in every institution of Bhagwan. And Swami very beautifully said, lotus has the power to attract the good and to prevent the unpleasant from entering inside. It is some sort of a guard which will keep the goodness and will keep away the negative forces. So that is one thing Swami explained of lotus. And then of course we know of the lotus effect, which Bhagavan has mentioned in so many discourses, where it is born out of the water, but you know, as you very beautifully said, you are in the car, but you are not the car. It is born out of the water, but it never allows even a drop of water to stay on it. I think that is a very beautiful imagery of what all of us should aspire to be.
You see, it reminds me of a very interesting incident which happened in Dakshineshwar. Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahansa Deva was sitting in Dakshineshwar in the small room, on the small cot. And a devotee who came from Calcutta asked him that, Master, what is the difference between knowledge and ignorance? And Master, who was sitting in his Bhava Mudra, just looked at him and he smiled and he said, me and mine is ignorance. Thou and thine is knowledge.
Wow.
Very simple. He also said, those who think, pointing at the sky, he is there. He is the embodiment of ignorance. Those who think, putting his hand on his chest, he said, he is here, is a man of knowledge. The point is that, although we are in this body, and body, as Swami says, is an essential instrument that is required to reach that level of realization which one aspires to. Isn't it?
Yes.
It's a, like somebody said, that money is a necessary evil. So is the case with the body. You see?
Yes.
The question is that, because Bhagavan said, umpteen number of times, Deho Devalaya Prokto Jiva Devo Sanatana. Isn't it? This body is a moving temple.
Yes.
So we take care of it, but we don't identify it with it. And this spirit of custodianship, that it belongs to somebody.
Yes.
You see, I'll take liberty of citing one example which Swami explained to me. Swami said, Puppet, who are you? I kept quiet, because there is a very beautiful saying in Sanskrit, Maunam Sarvartha Sadhanam. When you don't know the real answer, keep silent. Swami said, when the moment you were born, you came out of the womb and your mother says, you are mine. Next stage is that you are introduced to a man and she says, he is your papa. The father says, you are mine. You grow up, you go to the school and the teacher says, you are mine. You are my student. You go to the college, meet a beautiful girl. She says, you are my boyfriend. After a few years, you get married, and the wife says, you are my husband. Time passes, you become old man of 65. By that time, you have grandsons. They said, Grandpa, you are mine. The time comes to leave this world, whether you like it or not. The Agni Devta says, I'm going to burn you, you are mine. Vayu Devta says, no, you are mine, because the smoke I will blow it. Akash, the Panchama Bhuta says, ultimately you are going to merge in me, you are mine. Mother Earth shouts and says, but ultimately mitti ka sharire mitti mein mil jayega, you are mine. Meanwhile, Mother Ganga says, but ultimately the ashes will be merged in the Ganges. So she says, you are mine. So then, little puppet who was sitting in front of Swami asked, took the courage and asked, Baba, then who am I? And Bhagavan simply smiled and he said, that is for you to find out. Brother, this body which we keep on saying, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, is already being claimed by so many people throughout our life. And they are all under the illusion that you are his. And God, who is making sure that this machine works perfectly, this beautiful heart, which is the size of a fist. Swami said, 21,600 times your identity keeps on telling you, soham, soham, soham. You ignore that. He's telling you are mine, and you discard it. But moment you receive a bill, it is my bill, which you are going to pay it and then destroy it. That's what exactly Swami is saying. Do you wear the winter clothes in summer? Because you look like a clown. So in the eyes of God, when I said that this is my body, He only smiled and said, "You are a clown."
Absolutely.
Huh? Then अभी भी नहीं सीखता है. अभ्यास करने का सवाल नहीं, अभी तो क्वेश्चन ही समझ में नहीं आया. You are not understand the question. That is why Swami always used to ask, knock knock at the door and ask who is. Is it Tom, Dick and Harry or is it somebody else? But I immediately reply, "Hey, Tom here. You made a mistake. Just think over it, brothers and sisters, the listeners. Tonight, before we let us ask ourselves on the eve of Mahashivratri, who am I? Am I the body? Am I the only son? My mother has got 5 sons. Each one is being claimed by the mother. Ye chota hai, ye bada hai, ye middle hai, ye bachla hai. Huh? Then who am I in this whole mechanism of this creation? Where do I fit in? Am I an Aunsh or Vaunsh? Aunsh means particle.
Yes.
Vaunsh means the one who has actually inherited the divinity. I think I am making a mistake in Sanskrit language if I said I am the Aunsh. No, I am not the Aunsh. I am the Vaunsh. Whatever Swami is today, I will not use the past tense. I am nothing but His reflection only. If He did not suffer, if He refused to take the duality, Bhavatitam Triguna Rahitam Sadgurutvam Namami, isn't it? He was the embodiment of pure joy and pure love. And He practiced Lena Jana Bande Phir Bhi Anand. You give Him a wedding card and He said, "Getting married? Good boy.
Chala Santosham."
Swami, mother is not well?
Chala Santosham. Yes.
So, as brother said very rightly, what Prakash said is very right, that it is very difficult to practice in day-to-day life. But I'm very happy that he did not use the word impossible. It is difficult. Yes. But with Abhyasa, it is possible.
Yes. Correct.
Constant repetition. There is a beautiful sloka in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Purushottam Yoga. Kutastham. You keep on hammering it in your mind. Every day remind yourself, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the 5 senses of perception, I am not the 5 senses of action, I am not the intellect, I am not anything that is related to physical world. I am Satchit Anandam. I am Satyabhijam Sundaram. I am Shivam Shantam Advaitam. I am Pavitrata, Divyata, Tejasvita, Bhavyata, Mahanta, Asmita. I am divine. That is why Bhagavan kept on addressing us. Divyatma Swarup Lara. Prema Swarup Lara. I attended maybe 5,000 discourses by now. I read so many. And I have not yet understood what Swami was teaching me at the beginning of the discourse.
Yes.
He kept on hammering. Did He change his style of operating? Did He ever say that you are my dear devotees?
No.
Or my family members?
No, that He explains in one of the discourses. He says, "I can't say my dear devotees because I am not sure whether I have any devotees. But I am sure that you are Divyatma Surupas."
Yes.
That's why, and you are Prema Surupas. So that I stick to.
Yes.
That is your original nature.
Yes.
This duplicate devotee.
Brother Pushti, in Trai session, Swami was talking to the boys and Swami said very categorically, He said, "Puppet pretends that he has got faith in me. But the fact is that I have got full faith in Puppet."
So nice.
Then one day he will understand what he is.
Yes.
You see. So I think our life will become much easier by constant reminding ourselves. You see, if somebody comes and keeps on telling me that, "Mr. Popat, you are not Popat, you are not Popat," moment somebody will come and ask me, "Who are you?"
"I am Popat."
"I am Popat." Acha. You will say prayer in the morning. Tameva Mata Spita, Tameva, Tameva Bandhu Sakha, Tameva, Tameva Vidya Dravinam, Tameva, Tameva Sarvam Mama Deva Deva. After finishing that prayer and listening, you, Pushti will ask me, "Sir, what is the name of your father?" "Mohanlal." "Sir, what is the name of your mother?" "Taraben." Do I say Satya Sai Baba? No. I have just now prayed. Tameva Mata Spita Tameva. 5 seconds before I have completed my morning prayer, when I am saying you are Sarvam. And within 5 seconds, my statement changes. So there is no unity of thought, word and deed. If I remember that I am only a puppet, Swami once told me very beautifully, brother, I am sharing this because it's a very amazing experience that Swami gave to me. Swami said, if somewhere to wake you up, somebody to, where to wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning when you are supposed to be in sound sleep, you know. And he will simply say, hey, what's your name? First of all, you will get agitated. You will get irritated.
Mm.
Huh? This is not the way that you, what the hell, you know, you are waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning asking me what is your name. And then you will say, go away, or you will say, Ajit, go. At that moment, if you say, Sai Ram, with love, Swami says, that is unity, purity and divinity. Every cell of your body is reciting that name only. That is why Hanumanta, Balavanta, Gunamanta, Buddhimanta, when he pulled out his one of his hair, he was saying, Ram, 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 Ram. Because he had constantly practiced that, I am the messenger of God. I am not monkey.
Hmm.
I am not the doer.
Beautiful.
Amen. You see, that constant reminding is necessary. That is sadhana.
Yes.
If suppose somebody was to ask me, I mean, can we go to the caves in Himalaya? We can't bear the temperature of 20. How can we go there which is minus 20? Can we get up every day morning at 4 o'clock and do exercise and do this sadhana and meditation? How long? Swami said, even if you do 11 seconds, one day in the discourse said,
correct. Right. Yes.
But us,
yeah.
Even that is good enough.
Yes.
But the monkey mind travels even in that period also.
Yes. I said 11 seconds is enough for a moksha.
Yes. So Bhagwan says that constant reminding of yourself, yes, that you are not that. You are that which is your reality, which you keep on reminding. Nobody will be able to convince me. I have to convince my own self. Naham Pashu, Naham Pakshi, Aham Manushya, Aham Sai Bhakta, Aham Brahmasmi. These are Swami's words telling me.
Yes.
Naham Bhakta, Naham Srota, Naham Karta, Naham Bharta, Naham Bhokta, Aham Kevalam Ekmatra Drashta. I am eternal witness.
Mm.
What did Swami's life exemplifies? He was witness to everything. No?
Correct.
Construction. I mean, I think I am taking the liberty of saying that Swami is the one who has demolished maximum tonnage of cement in our ego in his lifetime.
Construction, destruction.
Isn't it?
Mm.
And reconstruction.
Reconstruction.
And he was never tired of that. Look at him.
Yes.
He never lost an opportunity to teach us the ultimate truth.
Yes.
Iti guhyatamam sastram idam muktam mayanada etad vidva buddhimanasya kruta kruttasya bharata. When your attitude becomes gratitude, and you realize that you are not the body, believe you me, brother, it is difficult. In 21st century, living in Bombay city, it is difficult. When the bus doesn't come in the time, you blame the whole of Bombay Municipal Corporation. But it is not impossible. No, yes. With God everything is possible.
Yes. Wow.
And with God there is no failure either.
Yes.
In fact, as sir was saying, there is this episode with Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj.
Mm.
He is also fully into that Advaitam philosophy, and he's had that experience of Advaitam. So one day somebody was telling Maharaj that everything is God. I am God. He asked, who are you? He said, I am God. Then he says, big deal. Everything is God. Then he says, and what is there to do? Realize what you are not. That is the sadhana you have to do.
Neti.
I am God.
That is understood that you are God.
Yeah, everything. That is the basic. That's the first step of spirituality. First step is that you are God. Yeah, we know that. Okay.
I think
so
that's
what?
Why Swami was telling us right from the beginning, you are God, you are God.
That is the first step.
First step.
Then they ask, Array, what is the difference? You are sitting here, we are sitting. You are talking to us, we are listening. It all looks the same. He says, in your world it looks the same. Mm. Then how is it different? So then he says, you eat food. When you eat food, what else do you do about the food? Nothing else. After you eat, digestion, perspiration, respiration, circulation, everything is done by the body itself. Are you in control of all the vital things that are needed to keep the body alive?
No.
Perspiration, circulation, respiration, digestion, excretion, everything is happening on its own.
Autoplay.
Mm. Then how can you claim that you are this body? And Swami has also told us in the 1990 series, yes, discourse, Swami mentioned that. You see, everything is happening. He says, just as you leave the body to take care of its own functions, I leave the body and the mind to look after themselves. Mm. I witness it.
Eternal witness.
Eternal. Just as you witness the body, but you identify yourself with the mind, your thoughts, you are attached to your thoughts, you are attached to your ideas. I look at my mind, this thing, directing my body and my body acting to my mind. I am a witness of both of them. Wow. It's very abstract, but someday some...
No, but you see, brother, again, it's a question of your own application of mind, how serious you are about it. You see, if I lose even my handkerchief, I will check my pocket 3 times.
Correct.
I will also go and check the drawers where I normally keep it. Finally, I come to the conclusion that I have dropped it. And then you forget about it and then you have a new one.
Mm.
Correct? But until then, you keep on doing it. It's little thing like that, which is probably costing 10 rupees only. You see? Which you can afford to lose it.
Mm.
You don't mind it. Here we are talking about our lifetime experience of living in that illusion that I am the body, I am the body, I am the body, and then every second person, he is my buddy.
Hmm.
Nowadays, you see, he is my buddy. He says, you are mine. You are body and you is my buddy. Which one is true?
Amazing. In fact, one thought that comes to mind is, as you were explaining about Bhagwan living that in his life, I was just reminded of how when Bhagwan's earthly bodily father, Pedda Venkamma Raju, passed away, and the news was reported to Bhagwan, and Swami was absolutely unconcerned, and he made that historical statement. He said, if birth and death does not happen, then how will I pass my time?
Yeah. That keeps him happy and occupied.
He's just a witness,
yes,
as he said, to everything that happens. He's absolutely...
Drashta.
Hmm. And I also think about this analogy which Bhagwan used to give of this pole vault. As you mentioned, you need to reach that high, you need the pole. But after you have reached that height, then the pole is irrelevant. I think that's what Bhagwan is telling. You need the body only till that point where the gales of worldly attachment, the pressures of worldly attachment affect.
Brother Bhagwan Ramakrishna Varma said very beautifully. He said, when you are already on the terrace, you don't really need a ladder. Yeah, that is useless.
Yeah.
You're already there.
Yes. Wonderful. So let's move on to the next paragraph.
వర్షముతో ఆకాశము భూమి ఒకదానితో ఒకటి కలిసిపోవును. చూడు, ఆ దృశ్యము ఆనందదాయకం. ఈ సృష్టి మానవునికి స్వత శిక్షణ ఇచ్చుచున్నది. సృష్టితో ఏకరూపం కావలను. సృష్టి యొక్క క్షరత్వము ఈ విధంగా క్రొత్త కొత్త సాధన సామాగ్రిని ఇచ్చుచున్నది. ఈ సృష్టి నడుము కట్టుకుని సేవకై నిలిచిన సనాతన సేవకుడు. సేవ, సేవకుడు, పరమాత్మ, ఈ మూడు మానవునకు కనిపించుచునే ఉన్నవి. దానిపై ఈ ఆటపాటల ఆడంబరం.
విత్ రెయిన్ ద స్కై అండ్ ద ఎర్త్ మింగిల్ విత్ ఈచ్ అదర్. ద సైట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఫిల్స్ వన్ విత్ జాయ్. క్రియేషన్ imparts self-learning to man. We have to become one with the creation. In this manner, the impermanent nature of creation continuously offers newer tools for one's spiritual pursuit. This creation is an eternal servitor, which is always ready to serve. Service, servitor, and the Supreme Divine, all the three are always visible to man. All the play, song and dance are based on these.
Bhagwan also has mentioned on so many occasions how nature is the best teacher. Nature is the best preacher. And I think this is what Bhagwan is conveying here, that the biggest lesson that we can learn from nature is this concept of service and sacrifice, which is the bottom line, which is the bedrock of the creation. And the interesting thing that Bhagwan is telling here is all the three are always visible to man. The service, servitor, and the Supreme Divine, they are all the time visible. And I think many times people feel that we are not able to see this. You know, where is sacrifice? Who is serving? But Swami is saying this is happening all the time. It's just that we are, if you are perhaps not able to see it, then we are not human beings, possibly. I was just thinking, if you just take the example of, say, sun. Swami says, service, servitor, and the supreme divine. So the service is the warmth and the light that the sun is giving. Servitor is the sun. And the supreme divine, you know there is a source to the sun. I think everything that we see around us, if we analyze like this, the most beautiful thing, I feel, whenever you want to sort of marvel at the Creator, it is so difficult for us to actually imagine the Creator, imagine the Almighty. But we can take everything around us in nature and we can just, you know, be lost in the glory of that one thing. As Newton said, that the thumb alone is enough to prove the existence of God. Hmm. And they say even till this day, as Professor Venkatraman many times shares with us, that scientists are still intrigued about the feet of the frog, because that itself has been such an enigmatic thing for scientists till now. They're not able to decipher how it operates. Mm. I think these are really eye openers. If you can, as that's what Swami is telling, it is there all the time around you. All those lessons that the Lord wants to teach you is there all the time around you. Just be conscious.
Prakash, you know, in the one of the interviews, Swami put it very beautifully and very empathetically. He said, you go to the sunset point, you are on a holiday, and in a hill station there is a sunset point. You go there in the evening, you sit there, you see the sun going down, down, down. You see that golden hue, you see, and you enjoy it. And when the sun, actually, according to the physical level which we are talking about, the sun has set, you leave that place and come back, isn't it? That entire waiting period of 20 minutes or whatever time that you have spent, did you ask anything from sun? Did you ask anything?
No.
You are simply looking as he was setting down.
Right.
Your mind is focused only going down, down, down. Sunset is done. You have spent hours to travel to the sunset point, you know. You have not asked anything. Then Bhagwan said in the group interview, then why do you go to God, close your eyes and ask for something? If you can be very patient and enjoy the creation and the beauty of the sunset, why don't you come here and see the beauty of Satya Sai and see his life? The Creator is here, the creation is here, and you are the one who is being given this opportunity. He is serving you. Actually, brother, I'm taking the liberty of saying that once the whole group was called in by Swami inside the mandir because we were going back to London. And your own brother, Pushti, was also there that time in the service of Swami. He was asked by Swami to go and call our ex-vice-chancellor, Giri sir. And then Swami was telling us that you sit in front of me in your own altar at home and say anything to me, and I am at your service. Bhagwan says, this is not this God of 21st century where he expects his devotees that he should serve. I am here to serve you. The entire creation is only serving me. That's why Bhagwan always used to say, does the tree itself eat the fruits?
Yes. Mm.
Does the sun itself enjoy its own light and the heat? No. But for sun, there will not be any existence of anything in the world, isn't it?
Yes.
So, does the cow take and drink her own milk? No, it is for the calf. So the entire avatarhood of Swami is only for us. And he came here only to teach us only one thing, Divya Atma Sarupulara.
Correct.
Yes.
He kept on hammering Advaitam throughout. Right from day one, when Swami was 14 years old, he said, Manas Bhajre Guru Charanam. From that time until the very last moment, he kept on saying that, I am that, Tattvamasi, I am Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atma Brahma. He never deviated from duality, Advaitam.
Yes.
Never. The bottom line was that.
Yes.
Isn't it?
All the time.
So he was also by that, like he said, My life is my message. Through his own example, he was telling us that it is possible.
Yes.
Yeah. His body was not different from our body. It is the same Panchamahabhuta.
Right.
But his application of his mind and his focus was to bring light in our life.
Yes. Amazing. Like you are mentioning about the sun, and it reminds me of how the sun is silently saying that if you are only burning yourself, living yourself to give with a kind of selflessness like this, how you can light up the entire sky.
Mm.
And I think Swami's life was like this sun. Because I remember March 20th, 2011. That was the last Sunday of Bhagwan. And that day, when Bhagwan came for darshan from the car, he went round the lady side and the gent side, and he was going back. He didn't come to the portico. And everyone was sad because they thought Swami will spend some time on the stage. Swami went all the way to the lady side, but his car turned again to the right. And he came for one more round. So after that he came and he was on the dais. And that day Swami started taking letters. First boy went, the second boy went, the third boy went. And it was just going on and on and on. I remember sitting there and counting. It was like fifth boy, sixth boy. Generally, you know, it would be like, okay, six, seven boys Swami has blessed. And that would be, because then Swami would listen to the bhajans. But that day, it was like eight boys. And Swami is still not tired. Physically, yes, Swami was not looking so great. But he wanted to bless. He didn't want to stop. You know, we were thinking, it's okay, Swami, because, you know, Swami was physically definitely not how we wanted him to be. So we were thinking, no, Swami, it's okay, you can stop, Swami, you can stop. But he wanted more boys. In fact, it's, you may not believe, boys thought Swami is really in a mood today. So guys actually went to the hostel because to get their own trays. And they took autos and, you know, scooters, whatever, and they came back and they joined the queue and they also had blessings because Swami was still blessing.
Because he was serving everybody.
He was just giving. So 15th boy, 20th boy, 25th boy, Swami still giving. It went on till everyone who wanted a piece of him had it. He didn't want to tell no to anyone that day. I think there were more than 40 boys who were blessed that day. And still Swami is telling anymore. I think to me that was such a telling lesson that Bhagwan gave on that last Sunday to all of us. How he wants us to be.
We were very blessed one day. Myself and my wife, we were in the interview room. Swami gave me safari dress and gave a sari to my wife. It was Gram Seva time. And in the afternoon when I came back after the Gram Seva, Swami called me inside. And he brought another bag, plastic bag, with another sari. So I prayed to Swami. I said, Baba, this morning you already given this to us. He asked me, Puppet, same color? I said, I don't know that. Same border? I said, I don't know that. Same design? I said, Baba, I don't know. But you gave one sari to Amma this morning. He said, Puppet, take it. Ask her to wear that one in the morning and this one in the evening. And then Swami has made a very beautiful statement. In love there is no calculation.
Wow.
In love there is no planning.
Wow.
You see, we were at physical level counting, there more than 40 boys, as you said, must have given the letter. And Swami was still receiving it and giving joy to everybody. Because he wanted to fulfill all our desires of giving that letter and giving, and the joy of giving. Isn't it?
Yes.
Whenever Swami materialized a watch or a ring in our group interviews, his joy was million times more than the one who is receiving it.
Absolutely. Yes.
See, that is the beauty of God.
Yes.
That is why he said, Lina dana bande fir bhi anande. It's a Mahavakya, I'm telling you.
Yes.
It's absolutely. A Mahavakya of 21st century.
Absolutely.
When we are talking about cashless society, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Kuch lene ka nahi hai. Kuch lene ka nahi hai.
Yes.
Amazing, I'm telling you. And that is what Swami has exemplified his own life.
Yes.
Day out and day in, he was giving, 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 giving and giving. And there was no limit of it.
Yes. Wow. I remember in 12th class interviews, Swami used to mention so many times, top to do, mm-hmm. dawn to dusk, mm-hmm. selfless, selfless, selfless. We never realized it, you know. I mean, as little children, yeah, we always heard, but because he said it so many times, it sort of remains in the head. But mm-hmm. it is something that, you know, whole life you will take to understand and practice.
You see, Brother Pushti, when you get things very easily, you take things for granted also. Mm. Like you were saying, giving the example of sun. We see it and we feel the scorching heat.
Yes.
12 o'clock it is 32 degree temperature and you feel it. But you don't have the concept that he has been serving from 7 o'clock in the morning from sunrise. And he's going to do that up to the sunset at physical
yes.
world.
Yes.
And for you it is sunset. For him right. it is a continuous cycle.
Absolutely.
Because when the sun yes. is setting here in the yes. other part of the world, it is a sunrise, isn't it?
Yes.
Correct.
Right. So there is nothing known as sunset and sunrise. Okay. 24 hours, 7, he is all the time on duty. That's what actually Swami also did.
Yes.
Did he take holiday? Did he say it is Sunday? No. So, when we are consciously aware of this fact that yes. somebody is serving me,
yes.
then your attitude will become gratitude.
Gratitude. Yes.
My father taught me a prayer when I was only, I think, about 5-6 years old. We used to go to Chopati in Bombay, where we used to go and see the sunset. Adideva namastubhyam prasidamam bhaskara divakara namastubhyam prabhakara namaste adidasya namaskaram yekurvanti dinendine janmantara sahasresu dvaridram naupajayate. He said, everybody worships the sun when it is rising. You know, they do archana. Bhaskaraya namaha, Adityaya namaha, Khagaya namaha, Pushaya namaha.
Yes.
I learned all these mantras, you know, Surya Namaskaram. But my father said that you should go and bow down to him for all the service that he has done. And you, when the sun is setting, you worship him. When somebody is doing very well, you always glorify him. When somebody is down and under, you ignore him. Mm-hmm. No, that is not the way God treats you. When you are in trouble, he is the first one to come and stand next to you.
Correct.
Your mother will be tired after 4 days of fever. Right? But Swami will be standing next to you. He is always there at your bedside. Amma himself is herself is tired. Because body has got his own limitation.
Yes.
But Swami is beyond limits, na? Limitless, boundless. So when we accept that concept of service which Swami is saying, in my understanding, apart from all the beautiful, you know, Panchamahabhuta who are serving us day and night, the greatest service that mankind has received is from Swami himself.
Correct.
The joy, the transformation, the reformation. Forget about that. I mean, it's a high philosophy. Just by looking at him, you feel, you forget everything. You get mesmerized. I mean, sorry to use that word.
Yes.
You simply look, keep looking at him.
Yes.
And one day Swami asked me, "Tum pagal hai kya? London se roj bhag ke idhar aata hai." I said, "Baba, dil nahi lagta hai. Any amount of darshan is not satisfying you. Why? Morning mein kiya na? Shanko fir jayega. Next morning again you will go and sit there at same place at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
You actually you make sure that you will go and sit at the same place.
Yes.
That's the best place to get. You know, Swami will take a turn from here.
Yes.
My brother, what kind of service he has done to us? We took it for granted.
Yes. Amazing.
Isn't it a fact?
Absolutely. I mean, yes.
That is why he kept on saying it. You people do not understand the value and the significance of darshan. After darshan, go and sit in one corner. And try and understand what I have done to you.
Yes.
And what you derived from that.
Absolutely.
You were talking about the Pancha Mahabhutas. And what I just, what occurred to me is, you know, when Bhagavan looked at you, what the Pancha Mahabhutas can give you, can soothe you or affect you, it was something at a different level, because I think the sixth element is Parama Prema. It is love. And when the avatar came in a physical form, I think you had the most palpable experience of that life force, that sixth Pancha Mahabhuta of love. And I think, which even transcends in its power and immensity of the Pancha Mahabhutas. And I think that is what was perhaps, that's why it was such a transforming experience. You transcended the senses.
In the darshan time, brother, you must have seen with your own experience, people, they are simply sitting there and they're in ecstasy. There are people who are just shedding the tears for no reason. Right? They are transfixed. The joy that was being derived at that moment by only his glance and his mere presence.
Yes.
Because the amount of energy and love, as you said very rightly, he was giving. Without our praying.
Yes.
That's why he said, darshanam papanashanam,
yes.
Sparshanam karma vimochanam, sambhashanam shankatanashanam, ashirvadam sarva mangal karanam, mama prasadam sarva dosa shoshanam, samasta papa kandanam, samasta chitta ranjanam, samasta loka poshanam, sai anugraha, ultimate.
Yes.
Atmagnana pradharekam. Ultimate.
Yes.
Ultimate. If we have realized the value of his being with us only for that, on an average, the darshan time during those days, I'm talking about late 90s and early 2000, if you look at the time, it is only 10 to 12 minutes maximum. From the time he comes, emerges from the Yajur Mandir and goes to the interview room. In that, there are at least 20,000 people on a festival day who have derived complete joy. Everybody felt their prayers are answered. A man sitting right at the end of Sai Kulwant Hall, he probably raises his hand both, you know, like doing Surya Namaskaram. And from there, he thinks that he has conveyed his pranam. And he has Swami Darshan, his heart is full. He's saturated with love. No human being has ever done it. I don't think any, pardon my saying on the live program, if there is Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, which I have never seen, but I have seen Karuna Murti, Prem Murti, Kshama Murti, the Trinity. No God has ever done such thing. You look at the Rama avatar, you see Krishna avatar. No avatar, with due respect and reverence and pranam to them, has behaved in the manner in which Swami has given joy. No spiritual master has done it. Believe you me. I'm giving this, empathetically saying this, because this is what I have experienced in my own life. No human being is capable of doing that. By mere presence, he has transformed. My own life has been transformed.
Yes.
I feel it. I feel the difference.
Yes.
People feel the difference when we are not aware of it. People say that Prakash has changed. Prakash has not changed. Your outlook and your perception toward life has changed.
Absolutely.
Who did it? When I was in Nigeria, one Muslim guy told me that your Sai Baba makes magic. I said, yeah, he is a magician. Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, everybody sits there and they sing the same bhajan. Isn't it a damn good magic? Show me one magician who can do that. Huh? You forget your religion. You forget your caste. You forget your identity. The person sitting next to you, he is illiterate. You are a PhD from Cambridge University. You forget that even. Both are singing the same bhajan. That's a beautiful magic I have never seen. I would like to see that magic again. Is it not true, brother? Sai Kulwandil is the biggest magician house where all the magic is happening even now.
Amazing. Fantastic.
Yeah. So if somebody says that, I don't feel offended, say somebody said Sai Baba used to do magic, I say he's the greatest magician. 5-year-old child and the prime minister both are sitting and waiting for the darshan. Isn't it the magic?
Yes.
Huh?
And through his magic, in that moment, we also forget we are the body.
Huh?
In that moment, we also forget we are the body at many times.
Absolutely.
When you are with Bhagwan.
If you go, Bhagwan once told us in the group interview, when you come naked, mother will know how to dress you up. She has already selected a dress for you. But you are already clothed.
Yes.
Huh? You already come with your labels. I am engineer, I am doctor, I am PhD, I am coming from such and such Brahmin caste. You come with all the labels, you are burdened with that. Where is the place? Swami said, you come with empty and I'll fill it with you.
Yes.
You come with empty mind and I'll give you beautiful thoughts. You come with empty heart and I'll saturate it with my pure love. But puppet comes fully charged. Where is the scope? I have to drop, like you remove shoes before you enter into the mandir.
Yes.
You remove all your labels outside Prashanti Nilayam. In fact, you leave it and dump it somewhere. Where it can't be found.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. I know we can go on discussing, and you never want to end a satsang of this kind. And
I'm sorry, I've taken a lot of time.
No.
Because I thought that Mahashivratri is there. I'm already charged for tomorrow. And I want my listeners to be charged. Yes. Don't sleep tonight.
Yes. Let's
yeah,
not
get ready
sleep.
For tomorrow.
Let's not sleep. Let's not sleep till we reach there. I think that's what Bhagavan wants. That, you know, that should be sort of the yearning. Till we have reached that stage, we don't want to sleep.
I will leave one thought with the listeners.
Sure.
Swami, the word sleep came, no? Sleep is a short death. Death is a long sleep.
Wonderful. So let's ensure that the rest of the time that we have in our hand, in our life, as we said, He's the one who at any point in time can decide when is the last moment, and we have to be ready every moment, because He is the Kala Kala Titaya Namaha. That's what we'll be worshipping now, the same Shiva. I think every moment, if we can fill with that feeling of auspiciousness that I am Shiva, that I am that Shiva Tattva, that I am divine, I think we would have started our journey. And this is the most opportune time, as Bhagavan says, Shivratri is the time when your mind is more amenable to become stable. So let's make this opportunity, this beautiful chance to sublimate our life, to transcend the senses and extend this period of bliss with Sai. Thank you so much, Popat sir, for being with us on this enlightening session of Vaini Satsang, and we pray to Bhagavan that we can have more sessions with you. And dear listeners, please do share with us your feedback and comments. Anything that you want us to discuss on Prema Vahini in this segment of Thursday Live, please feel free to share your thoughts, your questions. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With prayers to Bhagavan and deep sense of gratitude for having enabled this beautiful session of satsang and the day-long Thursday Live, we place ourselves at His feet. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.